wisdom, nuggets of condensed wisdom. You know, Proverbs comes from the Latin word mean pro verbo, which means instead of many words. You know, there's a lot of condensed truth capsulized in a short statement or sentence. That's what the Proverbs are all about. A lot of a big, truthful concept condensed, a small statement. Mostly written by Solomon. You know what? We'll get all the details later, but I just wanted to go to verse 8. Because most of the Proverbs really are addressed to the young man, children. And really, for the reason to, you know, that they would take heed and avoid troubles and problems, sin. In verse 8, to the children, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." You know, the Bible tells us that over and over again for we as children to honor our parents, to respect them, regard them, obey them. And here, you know, in Proverbs, Solomon writes that children are to obey their parents. It's really the one responsibility in the family for the children is to obey and honor their parents. Paul writes in Ephesians that, you know, honor your parents, for this is right. It's the right thing to do, to listen and obey and take heed. He writes to the Colossians, we're to obey our parents in all things. Not only to listen to them and to honor them, but to obey them in all things. Paul writes that it's the first commandment with a promise. For the Bible tells us that, you know, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God has given you. A promise for long life to and a blessed life, a happy life to us, to you as children who obey your parents. And he goes on, you know, look in verse 9. Then I'll let you go. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. If we obey our parents, honor our parents, then really you'll look good. It'll be for your benefit. Adorned with chains. You know, the outcome of your life, you look back. You'll be like a well-decorated soldier is what the Bible promises for those who honor and listen and obey their parents. And, you know, I thought about that one guy on TV. He says, you know, you'll like the way you look. I guarantee it. It's a promise from God. He'll make you look good. If you honor your parents, listen to your parents in all things. Just a quick word for the children. Now they can be dismissed. The children of all ages. Really, it pertains to all of us. Proverbs was written mostly by Solomon. He's mentioned three times throughout the book. I think in chapter 1, 1, 10, 1, 25, 1. And most qualified to write this book of wisdom and Proverbs, you know, the Bible tells us that when he was called to be king, God showed up to him and he asked him, "What do you want, Solomon? Anything." And Solomon says, "Oh, you just grant me the wisdom that I can reign and rule over your people, lead your people, like my father David." And he asked for wisdom and bam, God answered him in a big way. But the Bible tells us that he went on to write over 3,000 Proverbs, 1,005 songs. You look in Chronicles in the history and you see that he was, you know, he studied fish and plants and animals, insects. You know, he was endowed with much wisdom. Here recorded as 800 proverbs. But the theme of the book is wisdom. And, you know, not many books really tell, you know, the purpose of the book. But here in Proverbs, it does. Look in verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. To know wisdom. 37 times it's mentioned through the book, wisdom. It would be defined as to, you know, take knowledge, use knowledge, and live skillfully. That's what wisdom is. To live, the ability to live skillfully. To perceive the words of understanding. To discern what is right. To receive, in verse 3, instruction. Now, that's mentioned 26 times throughout the book, instruction. That word means it's a lesson learned through correction or discipline. And over and over again throughout the book of Proverbs is, you know, that we would learn, receive instruction. At the end of verse 5, that we would attain or acquire, that we would get it. The book was written, the purpose of the book was written that we would know, perceive, you know, learn our lessons and get it. We would really attain and acquire what the Lord has for us. And, you know, following, you know, that children from the beginning, you know, obey your parents. It's the right thing to do. And, you know, wisdom and instruction are for all of us, no matter our age. But interesting note, look in verse 22, chapter 1. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? It's really not addressed to, you know, it's not a matter of mental, you know, deficiency. It's not a wisdom and the acquiring, acquisition of wisdom isn't, you know, held back from someone if they're slow, you know, or dumb or stupid. That's not the issue. The issue is it's a moral issue, what's right and wrong, and to follow what's right. It's not a mental deficiency. It's a character or a moral deficiency to be a fool, to reject God's wisdom. Wisdom, living according the biblical truth of wisdom is living life according to God's point of view, or living life according to God's perspective. We approach Proverbs to, Lord willing, receive what the Lord has for us. We would attain and acquire instruction and wisdom. You know, living life according to God's perspective begins, the foundation of that is found in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It begins with the fear of the Lord, to receive, to perceive, to attain, to have a proper fear of the Lord, or a reverence, or a respect, or a proper regard for the Lord, is one that will take heed to His voice, to His word, to listen, to take heed. Takes a fear of God. That's the foundation of wisdom. To respect and regard, to honor. You know, children, honor your parents. You know, for the parents to instill that in their children from an early age really points to and develops a child's, you know, heart to have a fear of God, listen to God, follow God. It's God's plan. You know, later on, the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way he should go. You know, the responsibility upon the parent. Awesome responsibility. But to have a proper reverence and regard, fear of God for his holiness, is the first step, or it begins with the fear of God. Next, you know, living life according to God's perspective, not only having a fear of God, proper respect and regard for God, but to take action when God speaks, heeds the warning. To live life according to God's perspective is one who heeds the warning. In chapter 1, verses 10 through 19, really talks about avoiding the enticements and the allurement of sin and bad company. You know, addressed to the young man, to all of us, you know, being separated from the wrong crowd, the wrong people, the wrong influences. Sin. Sin's attraction. To avoid bad company. You know, sin offers a quick fix, so often. It's attractive because it's, you know, instant, quick promise. You know, sin is pleasurable for a season. But the Bible, or a wise person, will look down the road at the truth of sin, bad company, or the sin's allurement or attraction, where it's leading them. Take heed to the warnings. See, he's down the road. Pay attention to the signs. You know, so often you're driving on the interstate or through country roads and, you know, slow down, curve ahead, 15 miles an hour. Sometimes you have a light that flashes. And the truth of living life according to God's perspective is one who takes heed according to the signs, according to the warnings in Scripture. Looks down the road. Seeks from verse 20, chapter 1, through the end of chapter 2, speaks of seeking wisdom. One who pursues it. Look at verse 20, chapter 1. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. You know, poetically personified wisdom, speaking, calling out to you and I. Hey, live the right way. Do the right thing. Avoid the wrong thing. Take heed to the end of sin. You know, turn away. Turn your back on sin or bad company. How seeking, you know, wisdom, seeking God's word, taking heed, paying attention, seeking wisdom. Wisdom calls. Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear." Look in chapter 2, verse 1. Priority to God's word, to live according to God's perspective. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Oh, Lord, do open our eyes. No, we used to emphasize, Lord, Holy Spirit, grant us understanding. As we open the Scripture, as we open His Word, we begin to study, we seek His Word. Cry out for discernment. Lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Oh, paying respect or giving priority to God's word. You know, to be wise, to attain or the acquisition of wisdom, set here before us, you know, is one who takes heed to the warnings, pays respect or priority to the scripture. Looks down the road. Turns to the Lord. But it's an inward application, the fulfillment of living life according to God's perspective. Look in verse 10, chapter 2. When wisdom enters your heart, and look in verse 3, chapter 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, inside, inward. Write them on the inside of your heart. See, that's something we cannot do in all truth. You know, Solomon, you know, man endowed with more wisdom, wisest man ever lived, you know, second to Jesus Christ, you know, wrote, studied, he's a zoologist, botanist, study of plants, insects, fish, brilliant. You know, he understood knowledge. And yet, you know, he came to the conclusion at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes that this is the duty of man, just to fear God. All else is vanity, apart from God. You know, knowledge is meaningless. You know, that's one problem that with wisdom or applying the principles of the Bible. You can go to a seminar or you can sit under teachings about, you know, applying the principles, scriptural principles in your life, and they will work. Wisdom, you know, is effective. If you eat, you know, the right thing, take the right nutrients, exercise, you do what's right, use wisdom, you benefit from it physically. They prosper you. You know, if you financially take this step, live according to the biblical prosperity principles, then you'll prosper. But the danger is, you know, you fall short, or I fall short, of the application, the inward application of wisdom. Write them on the tablets of your heart. It's inward. I-N-W-O-R-D, inward. Or W-A-R-D, inward. In Jeremiah, the Bible tells us, you know, about a prophecy about... But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. God does this. That's what I do. I write it on your inward parts, God's truth, God's law. It's an inward work, the fulfillment or the seeing or the living according to God's perspective. I can't keep the call, the heed, you know, without His Spirit. We're to have a proper regard for God. In the Old Testament, the Bible talks about the holiness of God. The holiness of God is revealed in the Old Testament. And to be regarded and feared. The law came on Mount Sinai, and how God showed up and manifested struck fear in man's heart. But the revelation of God's holiness, to be revered and to be regarded in the Old Testament, was separate from man. Holy, common, separated. You had to go through rites and cleansings and ceremonies, even to come in contact with holy articles, or to make holy, or a holy God. Revealed in the Old Testament, God's holiness was separated. New Testament, the Bible tells us that God becomes a man and makes all the difference. Jesus, God the Son becoming a man, incarnate, communicating to man, holiness now, becoming a man, not separated anymore, united with man. And the Bible tells us that, you know, Jesus, through his death, resurrection, sends the Holy Spirit. Remember, he promised the disciples, you know, the disciples, he says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. The Holy Spirit's coming. When the Holy Spirit comes, first he'll be with you, then he'll be in you. The inward holiness of God's Spirit, Jesus solved. He bridged the gap. Now, the Bible tells us that he poured out his Spirit upon the church, that man, by God's grace, can now come to the Holy God and be endued and endowed with his Spirit. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But of him, verse 29, chapter 1, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The fulfillment of God's wisdom applied in inwardly. Jesus, the Bible tells us, became for us God's wisdom and power, sanctification and redemption. He's everything. You know, I often look at Proverbs and I think, you know, man, he's all these principles. And they're good, godly principles. But the reality of following them and fulfilling them in truth, Solomon couldn't. He came to the end of himself. He said, vanity, vanity, all things are vanity. The truth of the fulfillment or the application of God's wisdom is he's become our wisdom. He comes inside. He bridges the gap. Holiness of God revealed in the Old Testament, separated from man. He became man. Holiness. Then he sent his Spirit within us, solving the truth or the application of God's wisdom. You know, I always struggle with the book of Proverbs. I look at this, and if you look at it the way it was written or from Solomon's perspective, it's a set of principles, wise principles, condensed truth. But the fulfillment of the principle is the application. The wisdom comes inside, that we receive him, be filled with him, submit to him. You know, the action that we're to take, you know, taking heed to his word is, you know, what Jesus said. You know, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, or ask of the Holy Spirit. Will God give you a stone? The simple truth of God's Spirit filling us is the fulfillment of the application of God's wisdom within us. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption. He's wisdom and power from God. It's all about Jesus and all that he can do. He's everything to us. Let's stand. This truth, you know, the Bible tells us that grace came through Jesus Christ. He's the dispenser of grace. To come before him, he's our everything. He fulfilled every demand God has placed upon us. You know, the righteous requirement, the righteous standard of life God has placed and required and demands from us was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And he's our wisdom from God. So I look at the book of Proverbs and the fulfillment and the, you know, we're going to look at some of the principles as we go through them, but the fulfillment of God's perspective or living according to God's perspective is not only confronting Jesus, but allowing him inside, inwardly, to apply his way. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the intent of the book of Proverbs, that we might know and perceive and receive and acquire and attain wisdom. But Lord, we know that the fulfillment of your plan for us, Lord, is that we be filled with your Spirit. You're the fulfillment of wisdom. You're our sanctification, our redemption, our answer. We ask, Lord, that you do fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. That you pour your Spirit out upon us. First you'll be in us, or with us, and then you'll be in us. That we experience and accept and acknowledge our need for you. And realize, Lord, your movement, your power, your Spirit within us, holiness within us. Lord, we look to you. We thank you for all that you've done. We ask, Lord, that you have your way in us and through us, according to your plan, according to your word, according to your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord be with you, cover you with his hand, and his grace, his mercy and truth bind around your neck. Grace comes through Jesus Christ, and that he endow us with his Spirit of wisdom. Paul asks that the Spirit of wisdom, we might know what is the hope of our calling. That he pour out his Spirit, that he thrive within us. In Jesus' name, amen.